Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am quasi-positive Chuck Mockler.
You seem pretty down.
It was a tough go on Saturday. I watched that whole game. A lot of people did. Generally felt a bit of a waste.
Prozac Chuck Mockler.
Yes, after the Saturday game, definitely.
Anyways, we're going to be recapping that first L to the Suns.
Big first L.
Man, hope I'd never have to recap one of those again.
Same here.
So we're going to kick things off with a little kickoff of that. Do we have a freshies for him today?
We do have a freshies. This is going to be kind of a combo freshies and a preview for the game tonight when you're listening to this against
That's
the
right.
Hornets.
Against
we
the
might
Hornets.
Need a fresh starting lineup, but we'll get into all that.
I don't know about all that.
We'll see.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
So if you were, I don't know, lucky enough, had something else to do.
Or maybe tired
on Saturday, you missed the Clippers losing 130 to 122 against a Suns team that was without their second and third best player in DeAndre Ayton and Ricky Rubio.
Can I say that a hyper casual, I don't even know if you'd call them a fan,
okay,
would say, looking at the score, they're like, oh, it's not that bad. The Clippers only lost by eight.
It was that bad.
And I was like, yeah, but
it was that bad.
You don't even know who they were missing.
You don't even know who they were missing. There was some weird minute stuff we'll get into. Some stats. The numbers don't lie. There were some positive stats from here a little bit.
But what you're saying is it's the opposite of not that bad.
I'm not saying that totally. It's only the third game of the season. That's an important thing to remember.
Positive Charles Mockler is saying it's DEFCON 0.
It's DEFCON 3.5. I'll say that. Trez led the Clips with 28 and 7 with 10 from 11 from the line, which was fantastic.
Beautiful.
Kawhi had 27, 8 and 10, new career high in assists. Lou had 23. For the Suns, Devin Booker had 36 and 8. Kelly Oubre had 20 and 5. And Frank Kaminsky put up 18, 8 and 6.
Of the stat lines for the Suns, yeah, which one? Does Kaminsky bother you the most? Or
Kaminsky bothers me the most, man.
All right. Actually, for me, it's honestly Oubre, but
I mean,
I just
feel
like
fair.
Here's the thing.
Oubre, in my head, is a better player overall than Frank Kaminsky and can be a difference maker. In no way should Frank Kaminsky be beating us.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I think that Oubre is a nice player. I think it was a smart signing for the Suns to keep him.
He played physical defense against Kawhi.
My thing is just, we talked about this in the game preview, the wing defense should have been overwhelming for Oubre to have a good game.
A lot of things should have been overwhelming in this game.
Yeah.
And it was for the wrong side. Let's get into what went wrong. No, sorry. Let's start with what went well. Let's get that. Let's have a good time.
What went well in a loss?
What went well in a loss?
Because you want to see more of that.
Yeah, that's what I want to see more of. Trez is still the man. 9 of 10 from the field, 10 of 11 from the line. He kept us in it when we were in it. It was, I mean,
Did the free throw shooting surprise you?
Yeah, 10 for 11. I think at one point him and Zoo were a combined 18 for 20. Or something like that.
Beautiful.
Which is great. Like that's beautiful.
I mean, that's a great takeaway.
Yeah, that's pluses. That's good. Jermichael Green went 4 of 5. He hit both of his threes. However, he couldn't stay out of foul trouble.
Which we can talk about later.
Point Kawhi, still great. Has already set a career high for assists twice in three games.
I'm still going to say this.
I think I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
That Point Kawhi is nice, but also sometimes he might be relied on too much.
I was also going to say, I think Paul George might average more assists.
What? I don't know about that. Okay, that's 9 games away or something like that. We got enough to deal with this loss of the Suns right now.
I'm getting spicy, dude. We took an L. I'm losing my mind.
It was really tough. I mean, I sat down and sat through this whole game, and there weren't, from top to bottom, it was kind of hard to find things that went positively for this game. We shot cold, which can be attributed to the Suns playing a bunch of great defense because they played very physical. And we just were cold. We looked
and
like
a talking stick. That's a hard arena.
Tough arena. Everyone's jacked up from playing blackjack. It's just hard. There weren't a lot of things that went well overall in this game, which is how you lose this game.
Agreed.
I had this really hard thing because
shout out to the mighty, mighty Sundowns.
This might be a negative Chuck Mockler take, but people are people are calling this game, it was a trap game. So, I don't consider it a trap game because Rubio and Ayton were out. I consider it just a bad loss. It's a trap game if Rubio and Ayton are in there.
I disagree with you because I think
we should have mopped the floor with them.
I think with those guys gone, that makes it a double trap game.
It's possible. If we're redefining trap games, that means it's a bad loss.
It is a bad loss. That's what I'm saying.
So it can be both. Okay.
That's what I'm saying by double trap game. They should have lost. That like they should have known better. I feel like we had an issue last year, again and again, with the Clippers kind of playing down to an opponent.
Farbod talked about this in the pregame, and I asked the question on Twitter. I was like, well, maybe this won't happen because we have the 1A.
Incorrect.
Everyone can get it. It was very difficult to watch.
What does this say to you? I guess about what the Western Conference or how hard that is as a whole. Did this minefield? Did this bring any new realizations to you, or was it pretty much what you expected? Or
I guess new realizations. You're kind of right because like I've been fairly high on the Suns on this podcast.
Yeah,
but like. I mean, it kind of surprised me, but at the same time, I was like, everyone got better in the Western Conference.
100%.
Except for the Timberwolves.
I think, and people are looking at this like a couple of different ways. To me, the biggest takeaway is definitely just, you know, there's no game that's going to be given against the Western Conference.
Not even tonight when you're listening to this tonight, not even tonight against the Hornets.
No.
Which currently, we're recording this on Sunday night, currently they're beating the Lakers. Let's get into what went wrong.
What do you got?
First of all, I want to give a shout out to Aaron Baines for some of the most unfair trash screens I've seen set in a very long time. Never knew someone could use the outside of their knee to set a screen so well. You know what I mean? The refs for both sides, complete garbage.
Yeah.
The Clippers, it really bummed me out. It seemed like the refs got into their heads a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is never the refs' goal, which is why it's so much more frustrating when it happens. Doc challenged a call with like 1:33 left in this game. He like challenged a foul call and it was like, all right, I get that you're trying to like be a dick to the refs, but like it's over.
You know what? I support it.
I mean, that's fair. The defensive rotations.
If you're a coach, you should always be fighting to the bitter end.
What went wrong here in this game? Another big thing, the defensive rotations. The Suns had, I mean, they took 43 threes and hit 40% of them. That shouldn't happen.
I know, but that's not a regular thing.
I know it's not a regular thing, but like this
you're
was
just saying that amount of shots shouldn't really even be available.
Yeah, and this was a game where I'm fine with not regular things happening. Mm-hmm. But again, they were down their two of their three best guys, they were down. And in terms of facilitating open shots.
But they still had their best guy.
Sure. So did we. And we had a lot of other guys who were theoretically better than their other guys.
That's right.
And in terms of facilitating open shots, you'd think Rubio would be the guy to do that. But they were getting these from, and this is no disrespect to the Suns, they played a fantastic game. Like, we, you know, it's not like that we played terrible and just let it slip away. The Suns played great.
Yeah.
But it just like the defensive rotations, they had a bunch of open threes. Physically on the defensive end, the Suns bothered us. Mm-hmm. It got to Kawhi kind of early. Mm-hmm. Oubre was either playing great defense or committing a bunch of fouls. But it just like it all was not working for the Clippers.
How surprised were you that they, even missing Rubio and Ayton, out assisted us?
I mean, what really got me was them out rebounding us. The assist, yeah, that's surprising for sure because Rubio is the man.
Yeah.
But I also think we're not even – I still think
Kawhi's, my thing is
– I think Kawhi's going to go over 10 assists. So yeah. I think we're also kind of like – I think everyone's kind of being shocked by point Kawhi. But I think if Ruby – I mean, no, you're right.
But if like, you rock with this podcast since day one, you know we've been talking about it.
But like you're also right. Like that is surprising. Zoo and 15
the
minutes.
The assists are just so surprising to me because it's like
okay. 20 to 32 is a lot.
And it's just also like, okay, so Ayton's out and if Rubio's out, who are you passing to that's scoring?
That's the thing. And they shot well, like it was just all around. I mean,
on paper, you know, like from a view on paper.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Zoo had 5 boards in 15 minutes. I don't like that against Aaron Baines. He should be getting more boards than 5.
So
I think that's fair.
All in all, disappointing showing. What do you think, if anything, we can reliably take away from this game? So I'm going to preface it with one. I'm going to preface it with one. And once again, I don't even know. I did say reliably at the top of this segment. I don't know if it's reliable, but I will say it is troubling that in three games, two different teams have put up 120 or more on this team.
I agree with that. I can't. It's very hard for me to disagree with the fact that that's a little concerning right now.
That's a little weird.
And that's
right?
where I was going. That's what I was talking about with the open looks from the three, because it was just these things where it was like, I mean, we only lost by eight, which is great. But like you said, felt a little further away from eight. My biggest concern from this game is there doesn't seem to be the most concrete plan for Kawhi's minutes. My example for that is, you know, he's supposedly at a 33 to 35 minute cap.
Okay.
He played 31 minutes. And then there was a stretch where we were down nine with around 3 minutes left or so where Kawhi was not in the game. And everyone on Twitter was kind of like, okay, he's at 31 minutes, but it's a 9-point game. It would be kind of tight if Kawhi was in it right now. And he just wasn't. And then he came in later in the game when the game seemed more out of hand. After the game, Doc was asked why he didn't play Kawhi in that first stretch when it would have seemed pertinent. And he thought that the game was lost, so why put him in?
But then
why put him in after that?
I mean, he's not made of glass.
He's not made of glass. But if your logic is you didn't play him down the stretch when there was more time left.
No, I definitely see what
that's a little tough. It is the third game. I will say it is just the third game. I hope Shamet breaks out of the slump. He was 1-for-6 in 35 minutes. Foul calls were kind of tough. Jermichael needs to work on the fouls a little bit. He picked up 4 fouls, which meant he couldn't play as much in the second half.
Pat has not...
Dude, those 30 minutes were tough.
Pat has not done...
30 minutes of Pat? I don't care how good he's playing. I don't want 30 minutes of Pat.
Pat.
Not Patrick Beverley. Pat Beverley, also, to be fair...
Pat Beverley is actually who I was meaning to talk about. Because Pat Beverley...
didn't have the best game.
He said he wanted to work on the personal fouls.
He fouled out.
Thus far, I don't feel like we've necessarily seen it.
Yeah, and I think that goes two ways. I think that's him maybe trying to play a new way, which might mess some of that stuff up. And the refs have been on one. All right, it was a tough game. We've had a day to get over it. Coming up after this, we're going to be previewing the hopeful.
Let's end on one positive note. What's one thing that you liked from this game?
Trez is still a very key part of this roster and absolutely proved it.
Trez is going to hit 70% plus. He's going to smash through my goal for his free throw percentage.
I hope. Coming up after this, we got a preview about the game against the Hornets. Want to give a shout out to Indochino, world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style up right now with $30 off your total purchase.
I'm upgrading, baby.
$3.99 more. Doot. At Indochino.com when entering code locked on at checkout.
All right. So
it's the Freshies. It's also a game preview for the game against the Hornets.
Hey.
So here's a fresh thought.
What do you got?
Maybe we shouldn't start Patrick Patterson.
I disagree.
For this game, you don't think we should start Patrick Patterson still?
Yes.
Why not Mo?
I like. Look. Until we see otherwise.
We kind of did. I'm sorry.
That had nothing to do with Pat starting.
No, I know. But 30 minutes is a lot. If Pat doesn't start, he doesn't play 30 minutes, which I think is a fair argument.
No, he started and played less minutes.
Pat getting double the minutes of Jermichael Green is tough. Patrick Patterson, I should say. I apologize for that.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I love the look of that second unit still with both.
It does look great.
With both Mo and Jermichael on it. And until, like, here's
the thing. If Jermichael can stay out there, it's great.
Here's the thing. To me, Pat has played well enough that he hasn't played himself out of a starting spot. In your mind, has he played himself out of a starting spot?
Currently, yeah. Because I'd like to see Jermichael or Mo in there. They both played. I would say this. I don't think Pat's played himself out of it. I think those two have showed that you could kind of play both of them into it.
I mean,
Mo did have a rough game against the Suns. He only had one bucket, came off an absurd deflection. He was kind of having a tough game, but I guess what really gets me is just the 30 minutes. There's guys on the team who I'd like to see some of those 30 minutes go to that aren't Patrick Patterson.
I can see what you're saying.
You know?
I can see what you're saying. I just think...
Your point about the bench is good, though, because it looks crazy when Patterson's starting.
The bench looks great with Patterson starting. And my other thing is just in terms of him not playing himself out of it yet, the sample size is still so small. This, to me, is...
But it was against the team.
I don't even want to hear. I don't even want to hear somebody say Avery Bradley near me because it's nowhere near.
Okay, no one even
said
it. You just said that.
It's like nowhere near that sort of thing. I don't think that he's played himself out of it at all. It would have been great to see a better showing from him in 30 minutes. I totally agree. I think just front to back though, this last performance isn't something that I would take into deciding the rotations for this team moving forward.
I agree. We'll see what happens on Monday. Today, if you're listening to it. What do we need to do well against the Hornets?
We need to crush on the glass.
I want to see a complete destruction.
Yeah.
That will make me feel better.
I want to see a systematic teardown.
I want to see communicating on defense. Yeah. I want to see perimeter defense where we're actually closing guys out. I want to see a couple of box outs here and there. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
I would love to see, and we mentioned this in the Warriors preview, another dominant Zoo performance.
I would love to see that. I can't believe Aaron Baines is a hard-nosed,
I think Aaron Baines is a solid rotation player, and I think he's
absolutely a solid rotation player. He gave Zoo the business.
Yeah.
He did it with some annoying-ass ways,
mm-hmm.
but he gave him the business. I want to see... So apparently right now for our team, 46% from the field is not good enough to beat a team with how the defense is playing right now. Yeah. I'm making the specific point of right now in this moment.
Ooh.
It's not.
Are you ready for some stops?
I'm ready for some stops. Like, I don't care.
That's fresh.
I don't care if this game is 98-76.
Yeah.
I want them to score under 100. I want to see our defense... I'm not saying this like I don't think they're going to do this. I want to see them be mad about Saturday's game.
Yes.
And I think we will. I think Patrick.
I want to see it. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and I want to see it though specifically on the defensive end.
I think Patrick Beverley has Devin Booker's stat line written on a post-it note on every mirror of his house.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he does. What we need to do. All right, here's what could go wrong. Based on Saturday, everything.
What could go wrong?
The ball movement can get a little stagnant.
We've talked about this a bunch of times.
Same problem last year a little bit.
I think it's a different problem than last year in that we do have more facilitating ball handlers, in my opinion. But I do agree. Like, thus far, from what we've seen, it can get a little stagnant. It'd be great in games against... Oh, man, this is such a dickhead thing to say.
Teams where it seems like... teams where we have a positive spread against...
Yeah, in matchups like this, in matchups like this, it would be great to see guys sort of stretch their ability on a facilitating end.
Okay,
it would be great to see like just a stronger display of Kawhi's passing. It would be great to see, I don't know, just some more confident looks and just like just like something that there's not an answer for from a lesser team. You know what I mean?
For sure. I definitely...
We're talking about a systematic destruction, and I feel like that's just a part of it. Is that just like... It's like, oh, man, how do we stop this guy? He can score. He can pass. What do we do with that?
I'm really excited to see... This is the what could go wrong situation, but I'm excited to see how Doc handles minutes distributions if Green or Mo or whoever's on the bench gets into foul trouble. Because when that happened, it was like, all right, we got to play Patrick Patterson. And it didn't really work. It wasn't that positive.
Yeah.
Some key matchups. Zubats versus Zeller.
Cody Zeller.
If this was the time for Zoo to assert his dominance.
Yeah.
On both ends of the floor, frankly. Let's do it. I'm all here for it. I'm ready for it. I'm expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
the couple of zoo bots, Stan Twitter burner accounts that follow us. I hope you're listening, because I want to see.
Give us the smoke.
I want that to happen.
Pass that, please. So what do you think about Bev versus Rozier?
I want Bev. I think he's going to be... I feel bad for Terry Rozier.
I was going to say... I think
he's going to feel a scorn from Patrick Beverly that is only reserved for possibly LeBron James.
I think coming out of an L...
A big L in which he fouled out.
I think Patrick Beverly is going to give... People are going to be like, this guy got paid $60 million. And it's going to, and I'm going to feel bad for Terry Rozier, because it's like, you know, you don't deserve that.
Rozier's going to do that.
You'd be getting paid $120 million, and Patrick Beverly would still make you look like a fool.
Rozier's going to do that thing where, like, Patrick Beverly picks his pocket, and then Rozier kind of starts to limp, and then he's like, I need a sub. And everyone's like, dude, he didn't even hit your leg. I tightened up. I want that to happen.
What other key matchups you got going on for this
Shamit
one?
Shamit versus the Rim.
Ooh, baby.
Let's watch him go in.
Ooh, I love this.
This is no disrespect towards Sham, because I know that he's working through it too, but like, let's do it, man. You were 1-6 last game. This is a great bounce back game. I feel bad because I'm not like down on anyone coming into this game. It's just like, there's such a great opportunity to bounce back from what happened Saturday that the Tuesday episode might not be as fun if we don't bounce back.
Yeah, if we fall 2-2, what are you going to do?
So we're going to get into that after this next segment. What do you have for score predictions for this game? What are you looking for in this game also?
Only thing that I'm looking for, yeah, is the same. Just a control of the game again would be
a
really
nice.
A
steamrolling victory would be great. A slow and steady.
It doesn't even have to be a blow. Like, I'm not even necessarily worried about final score. I would just like to see control.
Just to keep them at arm's length.
From the opening minutes till the ending minutes.
Yeah.
And score-wise, oh, man, I don't have anything too concrete.
I'll tell you one thing, less than 120 for the other team.
I mean, less than, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, like, I feel like I keep, I don't want to say it because I feel like I keep jinxing it every time I say it.
You're not jinxing it.
I want to go just all the Hornets down to 100.
I mean, that'd be great. Now, I want to see some good... I just want to see some hounding on defense. I want to see good rotations. Even if the shots are going in for the Hornets, I just want to see us closing them out and not having as much space as there was on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because we're still in that first gel period.
Absolutely.
It's only the fourth game. I think the Clippers are going to win. They're going to go to 3-1.
I think they're going
to
win.
Right? Yeah. They're going to go to 3-1.
Yeah.
Alas, not 4-0. Coming back for this, we're going to be talking about just what it feels like after the first bad loss and how we're feeling a couple days after.
All right. I'm sick.
Okay. I'm taking the analysis.
With the loss.
I'm taking the analyst hat off. We've got the fan hats on, the fan beer helmets on, if you will. So after the Hornets, we go Spurs, Jazz, Bucks, Blazers, Raptors.
Yep. Yeah.
This, it's going to, I 3-1. Obviously not ideal. 4-0 would have been great, but I think getting those two wins against the Lakers and Warriors gives us some good belief to have right now.
I think...
Also, the Warriors, maybe not the Warriors, because the Warriors, whew, they looked bad again on Sunday. They got worked by the Magic.
Yikes.
But if we can get past the Hornets, I'm not saying that in a sarcastic way at all, because that's how I think everyone on the team is thinking about these next games.
As they should be.
Kawhi had a great quote where he was talking about, like, it's not an issue of us having a target on our back. We just need to play better. We don't listen to that outside stuff.
Exactly.
We're here to do our job.
I mean, I think if you're any professional team, you have a target on your back every night you're playing.
So
because the other team wants you to lose.
So what were on Saturday, you had a wonderful night out. What was your reaction when you looked, when you checked your phone, and when you were checking your phone and you saw the Clippers had lost by 8? This is full on a fan segment right now. This is a, like,
It was ass.
I went and bought $8 worth of Taco Bell and was like, you know what? I'm watching Scream 2. This sucks.
Great movie. I mean, not in the pantheon of Scream movies, but in the pantheon of all
movies.
It's
better than Scream 3.
I disagree. Anyways,
that's for Locked On Scream.
No, it felt awful. I think I was closing out at a bar and I gave I gave the bartender my card back and I was like, no, I'm not done here.
Rack them up again.
I'm not done.
No, I mean, it's one of those things too where it's good.
How?
It's good if we win on Monday today, if you're listening to this. Because this should be a kick in the ass. For all intents and purposes, this is a kick in the ass. It was going to happen at some point.
That's true.
The season was not going to go swimmingly.
We weren't going to go 82-0?
I never said that.
Wow. Positive Chuck over here. Huh.
Ass. Interesting. Chuck. We weren't going 82-0. There was going to be a too big for your britches loss, which I feel like this was.
Interesting.
Yeah, even I tweeting the game, talking a bunch of shit, I was. And I was looking through some tweets and I was like, man, like you got too psyched. Like I got too psyched on those first two games.
Yeah.
And then when you come against the team, apparently down their second and third best player, they'll hit you in the mouth. Also, credit Monty Williams. But
here's the thing that I do think is an important takeaway.
I'm happy it got out of the way now. It was just a third game.
Yes, is that it's good to get it out of the way. It doesn't freaking matter what teams you beat before. I don't care.
Well, it was a Pacific Division matchup.
I know, but I don't care if you beat the 98 Bulls three times in a row before
Bulls.
Before 98.
I'm talking 98, you idiot.
Before playing the Hornets. It doesn't matter.
All right. What matters is the end column, the dubs and the L's.
What matters is that night.
Okay. That's like the Doc quote where we didn't look at where the points came from, twos or threes. We just knew that we were top five in points.
Exactly. But we weren't because we lost.
130 to Phoenix is a lot.
It's bad.
But at the same time, it's the third game. It's a lot of new guys together. Patrick, we had two new starters compared to last year. Come on. What are you doing right now? It's gonna be fine.
So my question is, who are we trading tomorrow make sure this doesn't happen again?
With all the I will say the trade talk hasn't been crazy on Twitter, which has been nice. But people like I miss Shea as much as the next person, as much as the next Clippers fan. But the people who are saying like we already gave up too much to get Paul George, it's like I don't know what you want, man.
He hasn't played a single game yet.
He hasn't played a single game yet. Like, what do you want?
So what you're saying is that we should trade Zoo.
I'm not saying that at all.
Jerome Robinson.
Nope.
Andrew Shamet.
Zero.
For Steven Adams.
Not even close.
Steve. That Nash. Would be the key to victory.
I'm saying Steve Nash. There was a fantastic tweet from LA Clippers film room. It was along the lines about how Doc, he's watched this Doc lead. You know, we had 48 wins last year. In 17-18, we won 42 games with the guys playing heavy minutes. We had to play in heavy minutes. Things are going to get figured out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Saturday sucked. It was tough. I can't think of a better way to bounce back than playing the Hornets on Monday.
I think you might be underrating the Hornets.
Dude. If we lose, okay, I don't want to get, I rarely use this accent on this podcast. I rarely do, but it's a very, I know it sounds like a joke and we're laughing, but it's a
dude, if we go 500, what are you going to do?
Dude, I swear, this is not a joke accent. This is a very legitimate me being upset accent. Dude, if we lose to the Hornets on Monday, I don't know what I'm doing.
Are you going to call for Doc's firing on Monday?
Not at all. I will never call for that.
Are you going to call for Patterson's trade?
Trade for what? Okay, I can't even get into it. Dude, if we lose the Hornets on Monday, I'm eating 15 hot dogs on Monday. That's what's going down.
All right, we're about wrapping this guy up.
We're wrapping it up. Nothing I got. Thanks for hanging out with us, you guys. I appreciate the listenership.
Hey, if you're still hanging with us after a single loss to the Phoenix Suns, then you know what? You're a real one.
If you've bailed off the bandwagon,
and we appreciate it.
If you've bailed off the bandwagon, I don't know what you're a fan of at this point, because I hope everything goes well for you, but
we don't think you're bandwagoners. We think of you as new fans. So we appreciate it.
We'll figure it out. On Tuesday, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful win against the Hornets.
Oh, yeah. That should be a dub.
Hopefully. As well as taking your questions from Twitter Tuesday. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Appreciate you.
And we're clear.